JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan is here with the Best in Class podcast, looking at week five and the performances of young players, all those draft picks that you followed in the draft. Sean follows them year round. He takes you through what's been happening through the league. It's fast, it's interesting, with a healthy side of Bucks talk, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Hurricane Studios at Bill Curry Ford in Tampa. We are in somber times, everyone. We are experiencing a second hurricane. I'm not going to break into making this a sales pitch on Bill Curry Ford or talk about our sponsors. I'm going to take a minute to talk about Josh Martin and the work that his team at Florida Elite has done, not only for me, but for I've sent him a ton of referrals. It's a very difficult time when you lose possessions, but they are possessions, right? So Josh Martin is working with my insurance company, comes in, he's working with FEMA, and just and him and his team just do an amazing job. And he's a very accessible person for the size of the company that he's in. I have nothing to say but thank you to Josh Martin and Florida Elite Restoration and all the hard work that they do. I thank Bill Curry Ford for allowing me to do this podcast as the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. And listen, after this storm is over, you're going to need vehicles, or your vehicle's fixed, or you're going to need a loaner car, or you're going to need help with insurance. Well, I'm there for you. I want to help the Tampa community. So does Jennifer Curry. So when all this is said and done, you can reach me at bestinclass@BillCurryFord.com or just ssullivan@BillCurryFord.com, or you can contact me directly from the website, and I will assist you and anybody in Tampa the best that I can in helping you and navigate the situation with your insurance company, navigate your situation with your total loss, or if your car has been affected by salt water, or if you're driving an electric car and you need help with anything. I am free to, and this goes beyond work, and this goes beyond my profession. This goes about the fact that I was born here 3 miles from Tampa Stadium. This city is my home, and I assure you that I will do everything I can to not only to fight for it, but to help everyone who lives in it, even if you're from another place and you've settled here, because we do live where other people vacation. We live in the most beautiful place in the world. That's how I truly feel about it. Access to everything we could possibly imagine. And with that, unfortunately, comes these storms. And we experienced, in my opinion, one of the worst storms in our history, where I lost a home. It is what it is. It's just a possession. Again, it's a scary time, but I know that we're going to get through it. This town has been through a lot, and this will be no different. We will rebound from this. And I'm done talking about it because I want to get onto the subject of football, and I want to try to take your mind away from all of the things and the problems of your life and the problems that we have together and experience as human beings. And I want to just pause it for 30 minutes and just talk about something that I'm passionate about and talk about something that I find very distracting, and that's football. I'd like to thank Steve and Joe Bucks Fan as well for all the assisting that they do in helping me get my podcast out, the producing of the podcast, and the fact that I have so many people listening, and I am very blessed for that. So let's get into football. So let's talk about the Buccaneers and the Falcons. And we lost this game 36-30 in overtime. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the score, because you guys all watched the game. It was an extremely high viewership for the football game. The Bucs offense, we're not going to talk about the Bucs offense. I don't want to talk about Bucky Irving's fumble as a rookie. The play calling in the second half, we can talk about that. That's the one area that I think is this team hasn't learned how to win. And I know everybody says that. Oh, Sean, we won Super Bowls. Listen, every season stands on its own. Every game stands on its own. It is very clear to me that the decisions that were made in the second half of this football game, after scoring 24 points in the first half and scoring 6 points in the second half, it wasn't like the Atlanta Falcons signed a Pro Bowl defensive end and a Pro Bowl cornerback at halftime and had them up and playing. They played with the same team. Their adjustments were minor. We purposely did not try to score points in the second half. And there's plenty of evidence to that. The play calling with Rashard White versus Bucky Irving, the wide open wide receivers in the second half that we were throwing the ball down the check downs. We played a safe safe game. And is that Liam Cohen learning how to call an offense? Is that Todd Bowles telling him that he wanted to hunker down in the second half? Because Todd Bowles was entered at halftime. He was interviewed, and he said, listen, we have a very hot Baker Mayfield right now, and we need to ride him in the second half. I saw the interview. He didn't come out and say we need to run the ball more, be more conservative. Now, that could be the face that he gives to the fans, but I know Todd Bowles not to be a liar. I found him to not tell us the whole story, but I've never seen him come out and just boldly face lie and say, hey, we're going to ride Baker Mayfield's hand. So I don't know if it was Todd Bowles or Liam Cohen that decided to do this horrible play calling in the second half. What I do blame Todd Bowles is that defense in the second half especially was horrific. When I say horrific, we played this soft zone over and over and over again, and he picked it apart. And I'm talking about Cousins, who, by the way, threw for an Atlanta record 509 yards and 4 touchdowns. I mean, 500 yards, really? We're not talking about they have a lot of top talent, right? They have a good receiver in Drake London out of USC. He's not an elite wide receiver. Their running game was meh, right? So Kirk Cousins basically threw the ball 58 times. They saw something in the box. They took advantage of our middle linebacker situation, which should have gone to man. We should have just played man the whole second half. Whatever happens, happens. It couldn't be worse than guys running 5 yards wide open in the middle of the field. That's very frustrating, Todd Bowles, as a fan. Jason Light, listen to me. As a fan, it's not just about losing. Sometimes it's how you lose. We are better than the Atlanta Falcons. This roster is better than the Atlanta Falcons. I truly feel with Baker Mayfield playing at the level that he's playing at, we are a playoff team. We should still win our division. I have a lot of confidence in Jason Light and his staff and the amount of players that we have that are coming back. I am kind of irritated that we have players that have missed 4 weeks to start. 4 weeks is a long time. 4 weeks is like, okay, you have a concussion for 4 weeks. That's not good. That could be career ending. You have a foot injury, similar to like Deion Sanders talked about a foot injury. I mean, we have the number one safety in the NFL, and he's out with a foot injury. That's a lot, right? Deion Sanders said the foot injuries for defensive backs is a game changer. So I don't know what's going on with Kancey. Kancey hurt his calf. He's out 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Come on. I don't know why we're dealing with so many injuries, the severity of the injury. I would have thought that Jason Light would have made some moves after 4 weeks with this team. This team is good enough to compete for a championship. I truly believe that. And Buccaneers fans, you've been listening to me for 4 years. I don't joke when it comes to the Buccaneers. This team is good enough to win. If they continue to score 28 to 32 points a game, they will be a playoff team. If they can get this defense settled in with some type of pass rush. And by the way, Logan Hall, I'm going to give a shout out to Logan Hall because he wasn't playing on the inside. If you notice his sacks, he was rushing from the outside. He beat a single blocker. They didn't chip him, and he seemed to really use his power to get to the quarterback and push the pocket. So, I mean, yes, so I saw Logan with some scrape, but where is Yaya Diaby? Where is Joe Tryon? Where are the other two pass rushers that we were promised in the offseason? And then you're looking at Braswell. We're going to get to him later. He's not rushing the passer a lot, and when he does, he looks like he's getting there. So that's a whole nother thing for Todd Bowles. So you got to watch this tape. When Braswell's just rushing off the edge, he's getting pressure. I mean, but he's not getting enough edge rush. He's not getting enough snaps. I know they're probably easing him in, but right now is the time where, hey, anybody that can get near a quarterback, we need to get to the quarterback. But I'm going to stand on this game with my notes. After the game was over, my notes said no defensive adjustments. You had a guy my age throwing the ball 58 times. He's not going to scramble. He didn't move. Okay? That means all of the pressure you should be bringing is from the interior. Nobody had their arms up. We didn't drop anything into throwing lanes. I know we tried to play this zone where we tried to drop linebackers and defensive linemen, outside linebackers. We tried to drop them into the throwing lanes to disrupt Cousins. But listen, when it doesn't work, scrap it. It didn't work. Now, the theory worked, but when we tried to put it in practice, it didn't work. And then Todd Bowles after the game said we weren't where we were supposed to be. Well, Todd, you knew that in the second quarter. You didn't have to wait till after the game to tell me that the people aren't in the right order. You should have switched this defense up to man immediately, and then you should have absolutely tried to disrupt the front of that line. Excellent job against the run, obviously, is a staple. But I mean, I would rather give up the run than these easy passes. I mean, there were some times that I joke with Joe Bucks fan all the time about with Lee and Steve and Ira. You know what I joke about is being a Bucks fan and watching television and seeing the opposing team catching balls and never seeing a Buccaneer actually in the screen, in the television screen, nowhere in the screen. So they catch the ball and they start running, and then you see Buccaneers like, okay, if you watch any other football game, and I mean any other football game, and I watch them all, every snap of every game, I watch them all. It's amazing to me that you never don't see the opposing team in the screen. Like, I mean, even the bad teams. I'm watching the Carolina Panthers play the Chicago Bears, and the Carolina Panthers are in the screen with the Chicago receivers. I'm watching all these bad teams, and I'm like, okay, I'm watching Thursday Night Football, and Jamal Dean is doing yoga or something 5 yards down the field. I don't know what he's doing. He's not even in the play. He's not even in the TV screen. I have no idea what Jamal Dean is actually doing playing in the NFL right now. It's like he's so worried about getting beat deep, or he's worried that we don't have the proper safeties in there, and he doesn't feel like he has to help over the top, and he's got to make a play or something. But my goodness, 5-10 yards off of wide receivers. I mean, we're not playing, you know, this isn't Marvin Harrison in his prime. This isn't T.O. This is not Megatron. This is Drake London, okay? I mean, come on. And Darrell Mooney. Mooney was a guy that played sparingly special teams, and he couldn't even break into the third wide receiver rotation in Chicago, but somehow he comes here and he lights the Bucks up. I mean, and of course he does what he dropped the ball to give us the game, and we still couldn't take advantage of it. But this falls on a defense that had 81 snaps against it. Guys, if you don't realize how bad that is, you cannot allow your defense to take 81 snaps against it. The defense, we don't have the depth, and even if we were healthy, you don't want that level of people on the field. And as you saw, our top defensive player in the game was on the sideline during the key plays of this game because he was exhausted. It is what it is. Let's look at some stats, okay? Baker Mayfield, 19 of 24, 3 touchdowns. He was sensational, super accurate, okay? Kirk Cousins, 42 of 58 for 509 yards and 4 TDs. He threw that terrible interception to Levante David, which should have ended the game, but it didn't, okay? Rashard White, 10 carries for 72 yards. He had that long run for 7.2 yards a carry. Bucky Irving still at 5 yards a carry. If you go over there, we gave up 61 yards to Bijan Robinson, which is terrific. That was a terrific job stopping the run. Godwin, 5 catches, 64 yards. Mike Evans, 5 catches, 62 yards and 2 TDs. Both in the first half. It's like Mike Evans completely disappeared in the second half. It wasn't like he wasn't even in the game. Drake London, the guy I was just talking about, who's not an all-pro wide receiver, had 12 catches for 154 yards and a TD. Darrell Mooney, nine catches, really, for 105 yards. This is a Mike Smith, let him catch it in front of you and hopefully you tackle him well. Defense. That was terrible, guys. Talk about our rookies. Graham Barton had his worst game. He was our 26th overall pick in Duke. He was the worst game of the season by far. He looked confused by some of the defensive fronts the Falcons were running. He missed blocks one-on-one. He had a penalty, obviously, that was a key holding penalty. He wasn't moving fast enough to deal with the pressure that the Falcons were putting on him. It looks like he's still thinking. And you know what concerns me is there's two centers right now in the NFL, and we're going to go through them in this podcast, that are playing better as rookies than Grant Barton. And Grant Barton was the first center taken in the draft. So I have big expectations for Grant Barton, but I mean, he's getting outplayed right now by some other rookies. Tyke Smith, our third-round pick 89 out of Georgia, led the team. So our third corner, who plays slot corner, plays some safety, had 11 tackles in the game and one pass defense, got beat several times. He probably could have had 20 tackles. I don't know how many missed tackles he had in the game, but he got beat twice for touchdowns. Zion McCollum is playing in an elite level, 10 tackles in the game, 2 pass defense, leads the NFL in pass defense. Congratulations to Zion McCollum. Jamal Dean, garbage game. I mean, I don't know what else to say about Jamal Dean. I've met him. He's a really awesome guy. He is physically gifted, big and strong, but he doesn't play like that on the field. He also has decent speed, which it's almost like he's afraid of getting exposed, but he doesn't understand form tackling and proper technique make up for the lack of speed. And he just needs to work on that. KJ Britt, we can get into this long conversation about him. He got exposed. He is a backup linebacker in the NFL or a first and second down linebacker. He needs to come off the field in the third on third down. It was just terrible. Third and 15. third and 17, and they're completing wide open balls down the middle of the field. It was just terrible. Levante David had an off game. Izian, I thought, played pretty well. Yaya Diaby, four tackles, one tackle for loss, no sacks again. Logan Hall, again, we talked about that. He had two tackles on the game and two sacks. But he had five QB hits. So I think they might have found something. Vita Vea, as we talked about, only had a couple of tackles and a sack on the game. They were double and triple teaming him. Joe Tryon had one QB hit, a couple of tackles. Anthony Nelson had one tackle. Chris Braswell had one tackle. Braswell being our second-round pick, 57 overall out of Alabama. Jalen McMillan did not play. We did talk about Bucky Irving. Bucky Irving could rush for 1,000 yards in a backup role this year for the Buccaneers. He never fumbled in college. This is his first fumble. We're going to see how that starts affecting his mental acuity. I hope that he bounces back from it and just lets it go because it's a first. But he's never had to deal with this type of problem before. I really hope that he just lets it like water off a duck's back. As far as Atlanta goes, Michael Penix Jr. doesn't look like he's going to be seeing the field. He was their number 8th overall pick anytime soon. Ruka Rokoho, out of the defensive tackle out of Clemson, which pick 35. If you guys listen to my podcast and my draft breakdown, I said this guy was drafted two rounds too soon. He should not have been pick 35 overall. And we're going to talk about some other defensive guys later. This is a guy that was inactive. He hasn't even played in the games yet for the Atlanta Falcons. That's not good. Braylon Trice, their number three pick or third round pick out of Washington, has carved out just a nice little niche for him. He's getting some playing time. Overall, we have a big game coming up right now against the New Orleans Saints, and it appears that Derek Carr is going to be out for several weeks. So the Bucs have some very important games coming up, the hardest stretch. From what I understand, we're supposed to be getting with this long rest now. Hopefully we get Kancey and Gedeke and McMillan and Trey Palmer back for that game. That would be terrific, but we'll see. That concludes my discussion of the Buccaneers. Again, this loss falls on coaching. Horrible play calling in the second half. No defensive adjustments worth a darn. I felt like this is a game that we're going to look back on the season and say we should have won. And I think that's the hardest loss is the Denver loss. We were never in the game. This is a game that we had actually in the bag twice and let it go. And the whole Jamal Dean thing, not killing the second, that's on coaching. I'm going to go back to you guys coach and preach it. Have some repercussions. If a guy doesn't follow your coaching, like Todd Bowles said, well, we trained for this. Great. Then bench him. Send a message to your team. Pay attention to our coaching. Do something. That would be really great. He's saying we're going to be prepared for next week. Great. I believe in this team. I'm not doubting this team yet. Baker Mayfield is a star. I have no doubt that he has been playing just lights out. One more thing, that pass to Shepard, was the way he threw that ball through that window is an incredible throw if you guys haven't seen it from the angles. You got to see it from the different angles. Jets and Vikings. Jets lost this game 17-23. Robert Saleh fired. The head coach gone. The Vikings defense might be the best in the NFL. The Jets offense looks terrible. Vikings 5-0, Jets 2-3 on the season. Braylon Allen, the running back, fourth round pick of the Jets, has niched out a nice role for him. I think the Jets are going to have to fire their offensive coordinator. You're running Breece Hall on first and goal when you have this Braylon Allen kid who's the one-yard king, right? Big, strong, keeps his legs moving. I don't understand that. And then for the Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, which was a 10th overall pick, he's out for the season. Dallas Turner, the 17th overall pick, pass rusher, got a couple of tackles on the game. They're kind of easing him back in after injury. I will keep you updated on that. Next game, Panthers and the Bears. The Bears dominated the game 36-10. Great for the Bucks. The Panthers 1-4. Bears are now 3-2. Let's have our Caleb Williams discussion. I have talked about the fact that I have scouted a lot of quarterbacks. I thought this was such an exciting year for quarterbacks. Six taking the first round in the first 12 picks, NFL record. I said that Caleb Williams is the best quarterback I've ever scouted, talent-wise, and I stand by that. I don't know what kind of person he is. I got an email from a best-in-class listener that said, how do I trust you? You thought Henry Ruggs was a top wide receiver. Listen, Henry Ruggs, talent-wise, was sensational. No one can argue that. If you can watch film with me, I'll show you how incredible Henry Ruggs was. The guy was a drunk who killed people in an accident, and he went to jail for it. There's nothing you can do to talk about what kind of human being he is or what kind of problems they have off the field. because I don't interview them. I can only talk about what I see on film. And again, Caleb Williams in this game passed 20 of 29, which is very efficient, 304 yards and 2 TDs. So that's a tremendous game for Caleb Williams. Now, let me tell you about what he's done the last three games. He is 70 of 104. That's almost 70%, guys, in his last three games total for 824 yards and 5 TDs. He's on pace to break every single rookie record that the Bears have. Bears have been around for 100 years. He is going to break every record. He will be the first Bears quarterback to pass for 4,000 yards. That won't be a rookie record. That will be an all-time franchise record. I have no doubt that they will continue to win games, and I hope that they're a playoff team because I'd love to see that. But Caleb Williams looks like he's really settling in to a very poor offensive scheme. I think the Bears head coach and I think their offensive coordinator are subpar. I really feel like there's just a lot to be left desired, and I feel like he's, if you listen to a lot of experts, he's playing way over his head trying to make this offense work. So very similar to what Rodgers is doing for the Jets. I felt like Aaron is in an offense that's just terrible. I felt like that the offensive coordinator for the Jets, same thing that happened to him in Denver, got fired, and then the Jets hired him, and they went backwards. But getting back to Caleb Williams, I think it gets overshadowed by Jaden Daniels. But listen, Jaden Daniels was my number two quarterback for a reason. I think that he's been one of the best scrambling quarterbacks I've ever seen. If you go to my quarterback breakdown, you'll see that I said he would instantly be the best scrambler in the NFL, and he is, right? But no one could have predicted how well and accurate his balls have been on the run. But we're going to talk about him later. Romeo Odunze, the number 9 overall pick from Washington, 5 catches for 40 yards, coming off a 100-yard game last week, is having a very efficient rookie year. This is the rookie year for wide receivers, right? So Odunze is going to be a star in the NFL. Neighbors, as you've seen, Marvin Harrison Jr., these guys have just put on a show. Going on to the Ravens and Bengals, Ravens won 41-38. What a game. This was a terrific game. Phenomenal game to watch. You know, Jamar Chase went nuts for 183 yards on 10 receptions. King Henry, you know, won the game in overtime with a long run, which was crazy. Joe Burrow throws for 400 yards. This was just, there was no defense in this game. But if you like offense, this was a really fun game to watch. Nate Wiggins, the number 30 pick of the Ravens, had 2 tackles, 2 pass defense. Then the Bengals had Mims in the game, the offensive tackle out of Georgia, the number 18th overall pick. He got hurt. He's in and out. His play has been okay. You had Chris Jenkins, a defensive tackle out of Michigan, which I absolutely love him. He had 3 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. Eric All, tight end out of Iowa, which is the 4th-round pick of the Bengals at pick 115, had 2 catches for 10 yards. Terrific blocker, does a lot of things well. Keep your eye on Eric All. Moving on to the Dolphins and Patriots, really tough game to watch. I tell you what, with that, the Dolphins are an extremely difficult team to watch without because they don't have a quarterback. The Patriots don't have a quarterback. Very difficult time to watch, but it appears that it's now Drake May time, the Patriots' number one pick. So the Dolphins actually won this game 15-10. I wouldn't watch it. It's a terrible game to watch. Drake May, the 3rd overall pick, is going to get a start for the Patriots. Congratulations to Drake May. He can join the ranks of Knicks and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Jalen Polk, their 2nd-round pick, number 37 out of Washington, has been extremely good for New England, but they really haven't had a passing offense. And then Layden Robinson, the guard out of Texas A&M, pick 103, has been starting every game. Chop Robinson, a guy that all the Bucs fans know because he was linked as our first-round draft pick, finally got on the field. He had 3 tackles. He doesn't have a sack on the year yet. He was picked 21 by the Dolphins before the Bucs pick. Jalen Wright, the running back, who I really liked out of Tennessee, in pick round 4, had 13 carries, 86 yards, 6.6 yards a carry. I really feel like that's a breakout game for Jalen Wright. I think he's going to get some more carries. Moving on to the Browns and Commanders, we're going to talk about Jaden Daniels, but the Commanders won again 34-13. This was not Jaden Daniels' best game. He actually looked a little bit mortal in this game. He threw an interception, had some questionable sacks. But again, Washington 4-1, the Browns are 1-4, which they deserve for having Deshaun Watson as their quarterback. Jaden Daniels, he was the 2nd pick out of LSU for Washington, 14 of 25, which isn't terrific. For 238 yards, a touchdown and an interception. Not his best game. He also rushed 11 times for 82 yards, but he moved the ball when he had to move the ball, and he's looked spectacular in other ways. Between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, they have very similar stats. Jaden Daniels has 1 more win, very similar touchdown-interception ratio. Jaden Daniels has more yards on the ground because the Chicago Bears will not let Caleb Williams run the ball. It makes no sense to me that Caleb Williams is a sensational runner. They're wanting him to make him into some type of pocket passer. And then what do they do with Jane Daniels? They're just letting him play like he did at LSU. Brought in the LSU offense, and they're letting him run it. Jerry McNichols, a former Bucks draft pick, had 7 carries for 44 yards and another touchdown. He had 2 touchdowns last week. So it looks like he's found a role with the Commanders, team formerly known as the Redskins, which, by the way, there's a big movement to put the name back to Washington Redskins. So I'm all for that. Right now on the season, Jane Daniels has passed for 1,135 yards and 4 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And Caleb Williams is, again, at 982 yards and 5 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So very similar numbers. One more win for Jane Daniels. The Bears have a better defense, and the Washington has a better offense. And it's clear to me that they have a better offensive scheme. Colts, Jaguars. Jaguars won this on a last-minute field goal, 37-34. Latu, the edge out of UCLA, has been playing extremely well for the Colts. Dante Mitchell is crafting his little role out there. They got Flacco playing quarterback, which is getting the ball out. Josh Downs has been a star for them. Alec Pierce, last year's rookie out of Cincinnati, had another 3 receptions for 134 yards and a TD. He's on pace for over 1,000 yards. He has really put it together. Tanner Bortini, the center out of Wisconsin, we talked about this guy. I said this is a late-round center for the Bucs, is playing sensational football right now. So remember that name, Tanner Bortolini, center out of Wisconsin. The Jaguars have a star in Brian Thomas Jr. Another one of these star wide receivers, picked 23 overall, 5 catches, 122 yards, and a TD. He ran 22 miles per hour on a touchdown. That is correct. You heard me right. It is the fastest time in the NFL this season, and it's not even close. 22 miles per hour. Brian Thomas Jr., incredible. As far as some other guys to talk about, there's really nothing else to talk about in that game. But again, a starting center drafted in the 4th round who's killing it. And Brian Thomas Jr. for Jacksonville. Moving on to the Bills and Texans. Texans 23-20 over the Bills. Bills are now 3-2. Texans are now 4-1. The Texans, a year away from only winning one football game, went to the playoffs with C.J. Stroud as a rookie last year, won a playoff game. And it looks like they're Super Bowl contenders. This is what a draft, guys. This is why I get so excited about the draft. Drafts can change your franchise overnight and make you from a loser to a perennial playoff team to a team that competes for a Super Bowl. This is the Houston Texans. In 2 years, they are now competing for a Super Bowl after winning one game. C.J. Stroud has been unbelievable. Everybody knows that he's on a historic streak. We talked about C.J. Stroud. It now looks like Bryce Young is going to be on the trade block for the Carolina Panthers, and they're going to start over at quarterback. We'll see how that goes. Keon Coleman, for those who are Florida State fans, pick number 33 for the Bills, had a terrific game. He had a long touchdown run. He had a touchdown run called back, which I still think was a touchdown. But he looks like he's going to be formulating into the number one receiver role for the Bills. Cole Bishop, the number 60th pick in round 2 out of Utah, has been getting some play. The other thing, Cedric Van Praan, the center out of Georgia, I really liked him. They're kind of easing him in. He's not getting the playing time that I would have expected, but they got some good players around him. As far as the Texans, Kamir Lassiter out of Georgia is getting on the field. Cade Stover had a catch, which is a 4th-round pick at Ohio State. So this season's class for the Texans wasn't that great, but you know, last year where they went and got the offensive rookie and the defensive rookie of the year, giving away their draft picks, really worked out for the Texans. Moving on to the Raiders and the Broncos. The Broncos won 34-18. Talking about a first-round quarterback. Bo Nix, 12th pick overall. Everybody was joshing on him the first 2 weeks of the season, going, oh, he doesn't deserve to start. Well, guess what? He just set a Denver Broncos rookie record for 3 straight wins. In this game, he was 19 of 27, which is terrific, for 206 yards and 2 TDs, and then ran for another TD. Again, Chicago Bears, please pay attention to what Bo Nix is doing. They're allowing their quarterback to run and get yards. Bo Nix had 3 touchdowns in the game. He looks like he's in command of the offense. He's screaming at Sean Payton, which I love. I wish he would have punched him in the face, but he didn't. That's all great. Congratulations to Bo Nix, who's now on 3-2 on the season on a Broncos team that wasn't supposed to do much. They might have the second-best defense in the NFL. Going on to Brock Bowers, who I think is an absolute stud star, 13th overall pick out of Georgia, 8 receptions, 97 yards, and a TD. And if you haven't watched him run over people, it's very exciting. Center Jackson Powers Johnson, a guy that Ira really liked as well. We talked about him at length for the Bucks. He's out of Oregon. The second pick, number 44, is absolutely murdering it for the Raiders. This guy is doing an amazing job. For everyone who wants to talk about centers being drafted in the first round, this guy was drafted in the second round. Bordellini was drafted in the fourth round. These guys are, and we're going to talk about the best center and rookie center in football in a second, but these guys are absolutely killing it. Congratulations to those guys. Raiders fall to 2-3 and making a change at quarterback. Cardinals and 49ers. Cardinals pulled this out 24-23. Marvin Harrison Jr., the fourth pick overall, another stud rookie wide receiver. The NFL has never seen this level of talent. I mean, it's just wide receiver, quarterback, cornerback. I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of talent that came into the NFL. Three catches, 66 yards, on pace for over 1,000 yards. Jordan Mason, the free agent running back out of Georgia Tech, 14 carries, 89 yards in this game. Trey Benson really hasn't made his mark on the Cardinals yet, who was, for those Florida State fans, third pick, number 66 overall. 49ers fall to 2-3. Cardinals are 2-3. The Bucks are playing the 49ers, I think, coming up here soon. I'm very interested in Ricky Pearsall, who got shot. He was the first-round draft pick of the 49ers. They're saying he's not far from the field. I just can't wait to see him in a 49ers uniform. I think he's going to be a star for the 49ers, and I think that that'll free up Brandon Ayuk to either get traded or he's going to sign his deal, because Ricky Pearsall is the real deal. And they have Jennings on the other side, who looks like a Pro Bowl player right now, Juwan Jennings. So, I mean, that San Francisco just keeps getting richer even without McCaffrey right now. Packers-Rams. Packers won this game 24-19. Rams fall to 1-4. They're just an injured team. Rams, Jared Verse, the Florida State number 19th overall, has been playing extremely well. He might be one of the star defensive rookies of the season so far. I think that all the Bucs fans know who Jared Verse is. Everybody wanted him. And when it came to the Buccaneers, Jordan Winningham, the Rams found another excellent wide receiver. If you think about it, sixth-round pick. They found Cooper, Kupp, and Puka Nacua in similar roles. And now this guy had seven receptions for 89 yards against the Packers. This guy seems like he's the real deal. He's going to be terrific third addition to that team. Moving on to the Giants and the Seahawks. The Giants won this game 29-20. Malik Nabers was out of the game with a concussion. He was the number sixth overall pick. If you can believe it, I have that he is second in the NFL right now, and he missed a game. Just think about his statistically how dominant Malik Nabers has been at LSU. Again, I absolutely love him. I enjoy now watching the Giants play just because of him. Tyler Newbin, safety out of Minnesota, 47th overall pick. He's getting some time. Theo Johnson's now the starter for the Giants, fourth round pick 107. He's getting a lot of snaps. But the star of this game was their fifth round pick 166. Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue was more of a pass catcher than he was a running back. But he had 18 carries for 129 yards. You might be seeing a star for the Giants. I watched that game. I watched him run the ball. Seahawks are no joke. He made some moves, and I'm like, okay, this guy can play. He didn't really play a ton of carries at Purdue. Like I said, he was more of a pass catcher. This guy can do it all. So I wish him very well. As far as the Sea Chickens, I hope they lose their franchise and everybody gets seasick or food poisoning. Cowboys-Steelers. Cowboys won 20-17. Very hard game to watch. Because I really wanted the Steelers to win this game. At the end, in the fourth quarter, the Cowboys and Dak made a push to win the game. Fontenot, Steelers' first-round draft pick, 20 overall, has played okay. He's been in and out for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he's hurting right now. The number one center right now, number one offensive lineman, including Joe Alt, right now is Zach Frazier, the center out of West Virginia, picked number 51. Ira's favorite player going into the draft. He loved the idea that Frazier was a wrestling champion, and he played center, and he's got an attitude problem. Zach Frazier is playing at an elite level. He might start in the Pro Bowl for the AFC. That's the kind of level that he's playing at. So congratulations to them. Peyton Wilson, the third-round pick, number 97, a linebacker that I absolutely loved. I thought he was the best linebacker in the draft. He had an injury history, which made him fall to pick 97, but Peyton Wilson's all over the field. I'm watching the game, and I'm watching the guard, and Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State picked 119 fourth round. This was a guy that I thought Jason Light would be all over, a small-time school guard. He's starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers, guys, 4 weeks in, and he's playing sensational. So congratulations to Mason McCormick. What a draft right now. Between Fontenot, Frazier, Peyton Wilson and McCormick, and then Roman Wilson's a guy we still haven't seen yet out of Michigan, which I think is going to add some value as well. Saints and Chiefs. Saints lost this game 13-26, which is really great for the Bucs. They are now 2-3. Chiefs are now 5-0. Xavier Worthy, the number one pick out of Texas, had a ho-hum game, but he's had a terrific season so far. The rest of these guys, I know I'm not going over any Saints, but we can talk about Kingsley Sumatoa out of BYU for the Chiefs at tackle. Has been in and out, has been playing somewhat okay. So that's really good. But we have the Chiefs coming up. We have the 49ers coming up. And then we have the Saints coming up this week. This is a pivotal time for the Buccaneers fans. This is a pivotal time for our season. This is going to make or break us. Again, I'm happy with the draft class from the Buccaneers. I tell you what, the amount of rookies and the amount of impact that we're having this year with quarterbacks. Now Drake May's getting his first start. I hope he plays well. You're talking about adding four, possibly five with J.J. McCarthy next year. Stars in the NFL, J.J. McCarthy seemed to have played well in the preseason. That's just a guess on my part. And then you still have my boy sitting for the Falcons, waiting for his turn. So you got a lot of stuff going on with talent. Wide receiver-wise, you have Pro Bowl wide receivers. Neighbors will make the Pro Bowl. Marvin Harrison has an outside chance of making the Pro Bowl. Ndunze is playing extremely well. I mean, you're talking about like instant impact guys that are changing franchises, which is what Best in Class is all about. So please follow me at Bill Curry Ford Tampa. You guys know all the social media sites. Please leave me reviews, and then you can email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with any questions or comments about the podcast. Again, you guys stay safe. Everything I said about the hurricane, everything I said about being together, it doesn't matter. Everything else fades away when a storm comes. It's like it brings us together to where we're just all people, and we just kind of forget our differences for a while. But just like Josh Martin at Florida Elite was, you know, I can make a phone call and he's there for me and my friends, and I know he's there for everybody in the community. I'm just saying it's a good, he's so communicative, and which I really love in a business. And then I want to be that as well. I want to be that for anybody who needs me after this is all over. I don't care if your car is flooded, you don't know what to do, or your car doesn't start, you can't get a tow truck, you don't know what to say to the insurance company. Listen, reach out to me. I will help you. Because I care about this community and I care deeply about the people in it. You guys stay safe, and I'll see you next week.